The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
When we come to Jesus, he not only pardons our past, but he empowers our present. Grace not only delivers us from the penalty of sin, but it delivers us from the power of sin.
This is Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. Today's message, Daniel 6, Confidence in the Crisis. Enjoy, and remember you can always catch up with past messages and stay up to date with Hope Lives 365 and Pastor Mark by going to hopelives365.com. And now, Pastor Mark Finley.
We will study chapter 6, but before we do that, let's go to the end of chapter 5, Daniel chapter 5, verse 30 and 31. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now notice Belshazzar. Belshazzar was the young king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar faded into insignificance. Nabopolassar came on the scene. He ultimately faded into insignificance at his death. And then you have Belshazzar. But after Belshazzar is defeated by Darius and Cyrus, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians now rules. Now, here's something very fascinating that we'll want to notice with that background as we enter Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. The scripture puts it this way. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. Now, who did Darius defeat? Do you remember? Who was that? That's right. It was Belshazzar. So Darius of the Medes defeats Belshazzar of the Babylonians. As Darius defeats Belshazzar, he restructures the government. As he restructures the government, he does it this way. He places 120 satraps. What's that word satraps means? That's not set a trap, incidentally. Satraps, that's princes. So he sets 120 princes to be over the whole kingdom. But we continue. And over these three governors or presidents, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps or princes might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Now notice what's taking place. There are 120 princes. Over these princes, there are three governors or presidents, and Daniel is one. Now, that's incredibly amazing. In fact, it's rather fascinating. Let's suppose that the king of Babylon is ruling. Would the king of Babylon ever at all bring somebody from Darius, from the Medes and the Persians, to be over Babylon? Not at all. Or maybe I can even make it plainer than that. Let's suppose, for example, that the United States of America overthrows Russia. Are they going to bring Putin in as one of the chief political advisors of the United States president? I don't think so. So it's really strange and unusual that Daniel from the Babylonian Empire, who is a Hebrew and one of the leaders in Babylon now, it's rather strange that he would be brought into the governing group, the cabinet of the Medes and the Persians. They're really strange. But notice what it says here. Why was Daniel brought in? Daniel 6, verse 2. It says Daniel was one of these governors or presidents over the 120 princes, that the princes might give account to them the king would suffer no loss. In other words, each of these presidents was responsible for these princes. Daniel was brought in specifically because of his honesty, because of his integrity. These princes were responsible for collecting the revenue from each of the provinces. And Daniel was to be sure that they didn't have their hand in the till, that they weren't taking money out to ingratiate themselves. Darius saw in Daniel a man of integrity. People of honesty, people of integrity are still valued today. Do you remember that famous saying of Diogenes? Diogenes walking through Greece and he has in his hand a candle and people gather around him and they say, "What are you looking for?" And Diogenes says, "I am looking for an honest man." Men and women today of honesty, men and women today of integrity, men and women today who have morally pure consciences are still valued in our society and still very difficult to find. I love the way one of my favorite authors puts it. She says, "The greatest want of the world is the want of men," and we could add, "and women, whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle is to the pole. Men and women will stand for the right though the heavens fall." Have you made a decision in your life? In your business, you are going to be as true to duty as the needle is to the pole. You're going to be a man, a woman of honesty, a man, a woman of integrity, that you will not sell out your conscience when you are pressed to tell a half-truth to ingratiate or gain for yourself. Have you made that decision in your life that you will be honest, that you will serve God at any cost? When others are telling off-color, immoral jokes, are you a person of purity who will turn from that discussion? When others are criticizing somebody else unnecessarily, are you one that will become an attorney to the absent, for the absent, and represent that person and say something positive about them? Are you one in your life who's going to look for the good in others? Are you a person who, when others are looking at pornography, that you are going to turn away from that so the purity of Christ will fill your heart and mind? Daniel was a man like that, and God blessed this Daniel abundantly in amazing ways, as we're going to see in our chapter this evening. Now, here's the organizational structure of the Medo-Persian Empire. First, you've got King Darius, and then you have these three governors or presidents. Under them, you have these 120 satraps or princes. Now, Daniel is the chief of these three governors. This is what the Bible says, Daniel 6, verse 3. "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave him gave thought to setting him above the whole realm." Now notice, Daniel distinguished himself because an excellent spirit was in him. The Spirit of God filled his life. The Spirit of God flowed from his mouth. The Spirit of God gave him words of honesty, integrity. The Spirit of God possessed him and changed him and made him at that last part of his life, as he was all of his life, committed to God, making God number one in his life. I love the way Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." When the king saw in Daniel that man of honesty and integrity, he thought of making him president over the whole realm. Now, what do you think the other two presidents and the princes may have thought of this? Very obviously, they were jealous. And so they began to develop a plan. We find that in Daniel 6 and verse 4. "So the governors and satraps, princes, sought to find something, some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They checked his royal emails." They checked his Instagram account. You say, Pastor, they didn't have one. Well, if they would have had one, they would have checked it. They checked all of his royal mail. They checked everything he said. They said, we have to find something about this man that we can condemn him before the king. But the more they tried, the more they could find nothing. If the secrets of your life were unlocked, what would be found there? But they could find what? Daniel 6, verse 4. No charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Daniel was a man of integrity. Daniel was a man of honesty. Daniel was a man of moral purity. Daniel was a man, according to the Bible, that no fault was found in. Daniel had nothing to hide. Is there anything in your life that you wish that other people did not know? Are there skeletons in your closet? When we come to Jesus, he not only pardons our past, but he empowers our present. Grace not only delivers us from the penalty of sin, but it delivers us from the power of sin. Whatever skeletons there are in your closet, whatever things in your past that are hidden, coming to Jesus, we could have a new life because he is the God of new beginnings. We don't have to worry about what somebody's going to find out about our life. We don't have to worry about some secret that's going to be unfolded. Because when we come to God, we can go to sleep at night and rest well because we have nothing to hide in our lives. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king. They said to the king, King Darius, live forever. They were playing with his ego, playing with his pride. Oh, king, we have something to tell you that will exalt you in the empire. King, live forever.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Finley. We thank you for listening and hope you're enjoying today's message. Our mission is to attractively present the Christ-centered biblical truths of Scripture in a practical, relevant way to people around the world so that they may experience the abundant life that Christ offers and effectively share with confidence his life-changing truths with others. You can support this ministry and help us reach even more by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, back to Pastor Mark Finley.
All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the satraps, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree. We've met together, whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. See, they're playing with his ego. But what do you know about that statement when they come and they say, all of the presidents have met? Well, one thing you know immediately is this is a bold-faced lie. All of the governors did not meet because Daniel was not present. Now, it's really fascinating. When you start to lie, it leads you then to compromise and then make a decision to go further. And when you look at what happened in Daniel chapter 6 among these satraps, you find it in Daniel chapter 6. The first thing is you notice that they, in verse 4, that they want to find some charge against Daniel. Their jealousy leads them to be so envious they want to find some charge against him. Then we look down, and when they can find no charge against them, now notice, jealousy leads to envy. Envy leads to lying when they say all the governors of the kingdom. Lying leads to scheming to find something wrong with them. When they find Daniel praying, as we shall see, they go back to tell the king so the king can put Daniel to death. There may be something little in your life But that jealousy can lead to envy. That envy can lead to lying. That lying can lead you to do things you never dreamed you would do. Sin in our lives never gets smaller, it only gets larger. The drug addicts in New York City have an interesting story that they tell. And in this parable, they tell the story of a man walking through Central Park in New York. And as he's walking through the park, it's a parable, of course, he sees this little monkey playing. And as he sees this little monkey playing, he thinks it's so cute, so he bends down to pick up the monkey, puts the monkey on his shoulder, and the monkey's petting him, you know, on the cheek, and the monkey jumps from his shoulder, runs around his feet, and then the monkey apparently gets hungry. So this man goes, and he buys a banana from the banana stand at the edge of the park. He gives it to the monkey. The monkey eats the banana, and the monkey's so hungry, he wants another one. So the guy buys another one. Pretty soon he buys a whole bunch of bananas. He keeps giving them to the man, giving them rather to the monkey, giving them to the monkey. And the monkey grows and grows and grows. And pretty soon the monkey is mid-sized. And pretty soon the drug addicts say the monkey has become a big gorilla. And the monkey, this gorilla now, puts his arms around the guy's neck, and he begins squeezing, 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 squeezing. And as he's squeezing with his arms around the neck, the guy falls down, and then the old gorilla tramps on him, crushes him, and kills him. And the drug addict says, that's exactly what drugs are like. You start taking them a little bit, the one banana, and you have to have more and more and more until they ultimately kill you. That's the way sin is. We start playing around with it. It's just a little bit of dishonesty. Just a little bit of cheating. Just a little bit of criticism. Just a little bit of immorality. A little bit. And sin never stays at a little bit. Because sin never gets smaller. Sin always gets bigger. And the larger it gets, the more it can destroy you and kill you. If you've been fiddling around with something in your life that the Holy Spirit impresses you that is not right, why not tonight make a decision? You're going to turn loose of that thing. By the grace of God, you are going to let go of that thing. So, the scripture says, Daniel 6, verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Now, here's what they knew. They knew that if they could get the king to sign that writing, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, it could not be changed, even by the king, because it was an indelible law. So the king signed it into law. They knew they had Daniel exactly where they wanted him. They said, therefore, King Darius signs this written decree. And as he signs the decree, Daniel knows that it's signed because he is one of those presidents, Daniel 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, what did he do? He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. The decree did not influence Daniel. Didn't influence him at all. Why not? Because he knew that where there was no prayer, there was no power. He knew that his strength came from God. Daniel would not allow his obedience to Darius break up his relationship with God. Daniel knew that if he stopped praying, he would have no power to deal with the issues in the Medo-Persian Empire. So Daniel went home and prayed. Daniel went home and sought God. Has your prayer life become weakened today? Is there a barrenness in your soul? Is there a spiritual emptiness in your life? Jesus invites you through his Spirit, like he did Daniel, to come. To come in the quietness of your home, the quietness of that room, to seek him there. We find that where there is no prayer, there is no power. And we lose our spiritual power when we neglect our prayer life. Daniel 6, verse 11. Then these men assembled. They found Daniel praying, making supplication before God. Can you imagine that? Here's Daniel, this stalwart man of honesty and integrity, this great spiritual giant, this man of huge intellect. He's kneeling by himself. His windows are open toward Jerusalem, and he's praying. And here are these conniving, jealous. Here are these thoughtless. Here are these egotistic, proud princes, and they're crawling. Presidents, they're crawling on their hands and knees. They're hiding behind the bushes. They're looking up at Daniel, saying, there he is, there he is, there he is. What a contrast. One has his windows open in transparency, and the other are hiding behind bushes. They see Daniel praying. What do? The Bible tells us, Daniel 6, verse 12, they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, and the king even adds, which does not alter. And what do? They say, we've got him now. We've got Daniel exactly where we want him. Now notice what's going on here. First issue is God's law versus man's law. Who's more important, the king or God? God's law versus man's law. Second thing that you notice is there's a conflict over worship. Who would be worshipped supreme? Would it be Darius or would it be the God of heaven? Third thing we notice here is it was a time element where within 30 days. Now, when you think about these things, remember Daniel chapter 3. A universal world leader, Nebuchadnezzar, passed a universal world decree that all those that were not would not bow down to the image and violate the second commandment. So the law, the issue is commandments, and the issue is worship, you bow down to worship, would be thrown into the fiery furnace. And of course, Daniel knew that story well. And he gained faith from God's intervention earlier. But we find the interesting parallel in Daniel 3 and Daniel 6. What is God telling us here? If you read the book of Revelation, you know that in Revelation 13, it talks about a beast power. And that beast power would rise, and whoever would not worship the beast would be killed. Again, there would be a conflict over worship. Again, in the book of Revelation, there would be a conflict over the law of God. We find that in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and there in verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven. The angel flies. There's an urgent message. Having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. It says, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Last days of earth's history. The clock has struck the hour, judgment. Worship him who made heaven, earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. So here's a call to worship the Creator. Now notice Revelation 14, 9. Then a third angel followed him, saying, if anyone worships the beast. So notice you have two worships. Worship the Creator, worship the beast. In verse 12, the Bible contrasts these two worships. Here is the patience of the saints, that's believers. So in other words, for patience is endurance. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So notice, verse 7, worship the Creator. Verse 9, do not worship the beast. Verse 12, all of this comes into focus in the commandments of God. We see these central principles in Daniel 3 and in Daniel 6. So in Daniel 6, what we really have is an illustration that's going to be played out in the book of Revelation. So Daniel is facing a death decree. At end times, a death decree. Daniel will not violate the commandments of God. The first commandment says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Daniel won't violate those. Daniel will not worship in the prescribed way. So in the last days of earth's history, God's people won't worship in the prescribed way. They won't worship the beast. They worship the Creator. They will not violate the commandments of God. They are in full allegiance to God in spite of the death decree. So what happens to Daniel?
You've been listening to Hope Lives 365 with Pastor Mark Finley. We hope you've enjoyed today's message and remind you that you can find more in our many ministry resources at hopelives365.com. And you can support this ministry by going to hopelives365.com/donate. And now, a final thought from Pastor Mark.
The Bible says that in the last days, a human leader, too, is going to unite church and state. He's going to pass a decree that forbids genuine worship. What happens to Daniel? Daniel 6, verse 12. They went before the king, and they spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? This Daniel, who is a rebel-rouser, he's making trouble. He's stirring up difficulty. He doesn't respect the laws of the land. He doesn't respect you, O king. But the king spake, saying to Daniel, your God, who you serve continually, he will deliver you. Even the king knew in the power of God. Even the king knew that God could work a miracle.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.